Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We are ready for lesson 586 of this school, and we're in the midst of a special feature. Now, we try to do this on Mondays, and this is when I read from the Rockcliffe Review, which is the bulletin of the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And in that bulletin, I usually have something having to do with a sermon that I preached. And this particular sermon was preached over three consecutive Sundays. It is the 12 Timeless Thessalonian Admonitions, Part 1, 2, and 3, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 22. And so this, instead of covering all of this in one long lesson, I preach this in three consecutive lessons. My sermons are usually around 30 minutes. And I could preach longer, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I'll preach a little shorter. But about 30 to 35 minutes is generally what I preach. And I try to respect that because people come expecting to be listening about that time. You know, let me tell you something about preaching. If you're expecting a short sermon, then a long sermon will weary you. But if you come to worship expecting a long sermon, then a short sermon may disappoint you. And so we kind of preach a regular time period of about 30 to 35 minutes, and I may deviate from that as much as 10 minutes either way on any given Sunday. But I try to do that because that's what we're accustomed to, and we kind of can gear our minds up to listen for that amount of time. Now, for these three lessons, they're taken from, as I said, 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22. I'm going to read the introduction to part 3, but then I'm going to have to go back and pick up one of those admonitions that were at the end of part 2, and I think you'll understand that as we get into this. Here we go. It's in the previous articles, part 1 and 2. We considered 8 of Paul's sentence sermons at the close of his 1 Thessalonian epistle, namely, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18. In this part 3, we'll consider the remaining 4 from 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. Well, that's what I did that Sunday, but I'm going to back up and look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. And let me read that, because we weren't able to cover that in our last class period. And here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Well, that should be understood to mean in every circumstance. Note the pattern in these admonitions. Always rejoice, always pray, always be thankful. It's easy to be thankful in the midst of blessings, but we're taught to be joyful, prayerful, and thankful in the midst of trials as well. You may want to write these passages down and follow up with this. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. James 1, 2 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. These are all passages that talks about having joy in diverse temptations. A trial that brings us closer to God is a blessing indeed. Such trials teach us the vanity of earthly things and the exceeding value of heavenly things. But now let's go to those last 4 of those 12 timeless Thessalonian admonitions. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Well, I need to hedge a bit on calling these admonitions timeless. This admonition is the one following concerning prophesying and has an application that is especially unique to that is especially unique to the early church, yet they remain timeless in principle. On the day of Pentecost, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was so overwhelming, it was called a baptism. The power that came from this baptism flowed to many in the early church through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Spiritual gifts were given to them, and these spiritual gifts were used to confirm, strengthen, and mature the early church. Part of that maturity included the writing of the New Testament. And through these words, the spiritual benefit of that baptism continues today. The word quench can be thought of as throwing water on a fire. Paul must have left the Thessalonian church with spiritual gifts. In this context, to quench the Spirit had to do with hindering the work of the Spirit among them. The Spirit continues to work among us through His Word. And the enduring principle of this admonition is that we should not hinder this work. We can quench this work of the Spirit by failing to heed His teachings, living lives that detract from His teachings, and discouraging those who are trying to do well. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20 says, "Despise not prophesyings." The gift of prophecy was among those spiritual gifts. We should not limit prophecy to foretelling the future. In a broader sense, the word includes forthtelling God's word as given to men by inspiration. The enduring essentials of these prophesyings were written down, and we have the collection of them in our 27 New Testament books. Many today discount the value of the New Testament. They should be admonished in the principle of despise not prophesyings, and they should not despise the written prophetic word. And then we read 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20. Verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." This is the first two parts of a three-part admonition, and I count these two together as one only because they appear in one verse. To prove something is to put it to the test. In context, the all things are the things prophesied in the previous verse. John warned, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world," 1 John 4 and verse 1. We prove prophesyings, and I'm using the word prophecies here for things taught, by testing them against what the apostles and known prophets of the New Testament said and wrote. In this regard, John writes, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. Having proved these teachings and finding them to be of good quality, we are to hold fast to them. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." This is often quoted to warn against doing innocent things that may appear evil to others as sinful. We certainly would not want to appear doing something sinful. But in context, this is the third part of this three-part admonition. 1. Test the teaching. 2. If the teaching is found to be good, hold fast to it. 3. If it is not found to be good, but evil, hold yourselves away from it. These admonitions were good for the saints and the young church at Thessalonica who were facing trials, and the principles behind them remain good for us today. So that was the three-part sermon that we had on those 12 timeless Thessalonian admonitions. Now, we're going to return to our regular study of the fall of Israel to Assyria. But before we do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in looking at this history of the Assyrian exile of Israel, we have come to 2 Kings chapter 17, and we are on verse 12, where it says that they, talking about Israel, served idols, whereof Jehovah had said unto them, "Ye shall not do this thing." And Elam said in his notes for the Sunday school lesson he prepared on this material, "It is a sad mistake now to turn away from that worship of God in spirit and truth taught in the New Testament for any system which appeals to the senses, taste, passions, and pride of the fashionable, worldly, and wealthy, to try to make the pure, spiritual, holy service of the true but invisible God tasteful and attractive, pleasant and agreeable to the refined, cultured, but unconverted world, is to prostitute it to the service of the creature, rather than to make it the means of lifting the creature up to the Creator." And so we'll continue with this verse-by-verse study here. 2 Kings chapter 17, and in verse 13, we read, "Yet Jehovah testified unto Israel and unto Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." God would be gracious and merciful, and did not send them into captivity for the first or second transgression. He testified unto Israel and unto Judah by every prophet and every seer. Seers, that's S-E-E-R-S, were those to whom God revealed things by visions. God sent to them Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Amos, Hosea. Besides, there were the schools of the prophets of which we had learned. And Hezekiah, in his reform of Judah, sent messengers throughout Israel, exhorting all to repent, to return to Jerusalem, and to worship God as it is written. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 5 through 12, we read, "So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even unto Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not kept it in great numbers and such short as it is written. So the poets went with the letters from the king to his princes throughout all of Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again to Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, that he may return to the remnant that are escaped of you out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, who trespassed against Jehovah, the God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Jehovah, and enter into his sanctuary, that he has sanctified forever, and serve Jehovah your God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you turn not again to Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led captive, and shall come again to this land, if you turn to Jehovah. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him." We'll continue in the next class.